Evening, everyone, both here and on the live stream. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. We'll just be looking at one verse in there, Psalm 27. I might pray first before we look at the verse. Father, we thank you that we are here this evening. We thank you that we're able to express our love and appreciation for you in song and in hymn. We thank you for the men and women who have gone before us, heroes of the faith, so to speak, who have laid down their life, but gained so much more in you. We pray now, Lord, that you would help us to turn our focus and attention to you, to your word, and help us to be taught by you. May the Spirit work in our hearts, and may you get the glory in our lives this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's just one verse this evening that we are considering. Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. If you're taking notes, the title of this message this evening is simply, Seek the Lord. Well, I can still say it's the last day of the month. A new year is upon us. I think we'll all be honest that last year was particularly uncomfortable and rough. And I'm sure we're all hoping for better in 2021, so to speak. It's certainly the rhetoric on the news and when I was speaking to people back at work. I hope this is going to be a better year. And in this new year ahead, some of us have very specific things that we want to achieve or things that we want to do differently, things we want to get better at, or things we want to do less of. And then again, some of us are starting and staring into this new year like it's just a black room full of darkness, uncertainty, unknown. What is going to happen? But whether we're all cautious or whether we're go-getters, we all have some form of hope, goal, or dream. And it's easy for us to get caught up in our priorities and our plans and our dreams and our desires for 2021. And if we're not careful, we can miss or worse ignore God's priorities, God's plans, and God's desires for us. And this verse here, Psalm 27, verse 8, the Lord drew me to it, continually brought it to my mind end of last year and beginning of this year, as I reflected on this year ahead, what were my goals and what was it that I wanted to do differently, knowing the many great weaknesses and challenges that I face. Yet in the midst of all of this thinking and this reflecting and this planning and these desires, God calls me and he calls all of us. And this call is expressed in this verse. See, God's great desire and priority is that we would simply seek him in an ongoing personal relationship. It is the most important need in our life, and it must be our highest priority for this year ahead, to seek him with our whole heart. So tonight, we're going to be looking at verse 8, this call from God to us and what our response needs to be. Looking at it in simply two parts, God's call and our response. Firstly, God's call. We see here in verse 8, when thou sayest, seek ye my face. And this call or invitation is not just from anyone. It is from the one and only true God, who is greater than all of us, both individually and combined. It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that is calling us. He's far more powerful than any earthly ruler or billionaire on this earth who has ever existed. It is the Almighty God who has formed us and has created it, who rules over everything, including us. It is he who is calling us. We're told in Genesis 2 that the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. In Psalm 103, we are told, but our days are but the grass of the field. He knows our frame. He remembers, but we are dust. We are dust, and he is our maker. We are not our own, but God's. He is our workmanship. We're owned by him. He has absolute authority over us, and we are all accountable to him. Isaiah 64 says, "Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are the work of thy hand." To see that this call from God is the authority over us. God, whose work we all are, is inviting us. He is speaking to us. This is his greatest desire and his plea to us. Notice as well in our verse that it's God who's speaking first. It's God who is taking the initiative. And he's always taking the first step in our lives. He has first sought us, and he has first reached out to us. Romans 3 says, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." We have not sought after God first. Rather, it's God who calls out to us first. And just like he did all those years ago in the garden, Adam and Eve, who disobeyed and subsequently hid from God, God, rather, in the cool of the day, calls out to them, seeking them. This is God's invitation to us, to seek ye my face. Seek means to search out, to strive after, inquire diligently, or take great effort in finding. It's not an aimless, directionless seeking, not knowing what we're looking for, just going with the flow, see where you go. It's a deliberate and it's a purposeful seeking, knowing exactly what we're trying to find. Joseph, by way of an example, Joseph, one of the 12 brothers of Jacob of Israel, in searching for his brethren before he was sold into slavery, demonstrates what this seeking is looking like, what this seeking looks like. In Genesis 37, we have this account where Jacob sends Joseph out to look for his brethren, and he comes to Shechem, I believe, and a certain man found him, being Joseph, and behold, as he was wandering in the field, the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou? What are you searching for?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they fed their flocks." And subsequently, he's told that they'd gone further north. And some observations from this in reference to this seeking that God is calling us to. Firstly, Joseph, in his seeking, knew what he was searching for, his brethren and his flocks of his father. Secondly, to note that Joseph was prepared to keep seeking his brethren and the flocks until he found them. He didn't just stop when they weren't there. He didn't give up when discovering he had to travel much, much further north. These setbacks didn't stop him from seeking. And this is the seeking that God expects from us. This is the seeking that God is calling to us, earnest and committed. A great pressing and a longing. And God makes it very clear what we are to seek for. See here in verse 8, "Seek ye my face." This face, the face, it represents one's being. It's the individual and their presence. And it brings the idea of a personal audience with one, coming to a face of another. And the Hebrew word for face is often translated presence. See, when we seek the face of God, we're seeking his presence. God doesn't want us to seek to search for his back, his feet, his chest, or his arms. You can't commune with them. You can't engage with them. It's the face that we talk to. And a person's face reveals much about their character and their personality. We see one's emotions, what they're thinking, so to speak, and their reactions. They're all expressed on our face. And we recognize and we relate to people by their face. When we smile at someone and they don't smile back, ooh. But when we smile and they smile back, you know that you're communicating them, even non-verbally. We recognize and relate to people by their face. And God His desire is that we seek his face, seek him personally, his person, his character, his presence. So God's call is an invitation for a relationship with regular communion, time in his presence, focused upon him, speaking with him, a healthy relationship that has two-way communication, quality time. This is a personal dialogue with God, and this is what he wants. He doesn't want our commitments. He doesn't want our promises. He doesn't want our money. He doesn't want our abilities. His desire above all of these things, and more importantly than any of those things, is just us, ourselves. That we would love him and seek him. And that he would have our attention. This is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices and things that we could give unto God. And this is what one of the Pharisees realized in his exchange with Jesus in Mark 12. And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Seeking God's face means desiring to know his character and wanting him, his presence, more than anything that he can give us. And since the beginning of creation, God's desire has been to talk and to walk with his creation, with us. Men such as Enoch, walked with God. Abraham, who was a friend of God. And Moses, whom God spake unto face to face. They're all commended for this intimate relationship with God. Not for their great acts, but for the relationship that they had with God. Just like these men had relationships close with God, walking side by side with him, speaking with him often. This is God's desire for us. Not for these great men that we look to as examples, but this is what God wants for us. He wants to be our constant companion in every experience, in every day of our life. He wants us to know him through and through. Note as well what God says, "Seek ye my face." So this is a personal invitation from God. It's not to the world. It's not to a people group or community. It's not to a nation. It's not to a church. It's not even to a family or a couple. See, God's call is addressed to the individual, us personally. He's calling me, Ben, to seek my face. And he's calling you personally to seek his face. And this call is individual and can be individual to every single person in the world because it's simple. We can all do it. To earnestly search for him and commune with him and for him to be our closest and dearest friend. Doesn't matter our age. Doesn't matter our abilities or lack thereof. Doesn't matter our past. Doesn't matter our heritage. God's invitation is to all. It's accessible to everyone. It's all exclusive. It's universal. And Christ reveals this heart of his in John 6. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." There's no exceptions. There's no disclaimers. See, God wants us. He doesn't need us. He is self-existent. But he still wants us. And his thoughts to us are more than the sands of the shore. He wants a personal relationship with me. He wants a personal relationship with you. And this call for a personal relationship, it must involve dealing with our sin. We cannot avoid it. Isaiah 59 says, "But your iniquities, my iniquities, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Our sin, it separates us from God. See, sin is when we reject his holiness. Sin is when we refuse his authority. And sin is when we reverence creation, including ourselves, anything in this world or in the heavens, rather than the Creator himself. We are all guilty. We're all sinners. Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it's through Jesus Christ's death on our behalf that allows us to re-enter this relationship with God that was broken. Ephesians 2 tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, as far as the east is from the west, so to speak, were made nigh by the blood of Christ." And verse 16, "that he might reconcile us both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." See, Christ took our sin upon him. He became guilty in our place. And though separated, his death reconciles us. It brings us back to God. For all of us that trust completely in this sacrifice on our behalf. Told in 1 John, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You see, this personal call, "Seek ye my face," from God for a relationship, it cannot be on our terms. It cannot be on our terms. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It must start with Jesus Christ. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father, no man can have a relationship with the Father, but through Christ Jesus. God's invitation to us personally is that we would seek him earnestly with an intention to find him. First, find forgiveness through Christ Jesus, and then a living, rich, ongoing relationship with him. This call to "seek ye my face" is not for special occasions. It's not at the beginning of the new year. It's not at our birthday or some spiritual event. It's not even at church. This invitation to us is daily. It's moment by moment, in every place, in every situation. God's call is to seek his face. Seek him in his word, in prayer, meditation, reflecting upon him. God takes the initiative in inviting us. He calls us individually and personally to seek him. And he's done everything possible to enable us to seek his face. It's for us to act. Us to act. And this leads us to our second point this evening, our response. Our response. Looking back here in Psalm 27, verse 8, "When thou sayest, seek ye my face," this is the Lord speaking as we just looked at. "My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." This is the response of the psalmist. Well, what makes this invitation so important from God? Why should we care? And why should we bother responding? I wouldn't blame people for asking that. There's nothing wrong with asking that question if there's a desire to seek the truth in it. By way of an example, in Paul's address to the people in Athens in Acts 17, he addresses them, "And though they worshipped many gods, there was only one in whom we live and move and have our being," we're told in verse 28. Our being and our purpose and our whole lives, our existence, has meaning only in God. It profits us nothing if we were to have everything that we wanted in this world and lose our own soul, missing the opportunity for a restored and ongoing relationship with God. Adoniram Judson, in that prison, in that death cell, was richer than that king of Burma. That king had everything, but not his soul. Adoniram Judson had nothing but an ongoing relationship with God. And it's only through and from God that all of our priorities, all of our plans, all of our wishes, all of our dreams, all of our desires, all of our wants, and all of our needs have any meaning. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." God's call is important, not just because of who he is, but of how much we need him and how richly abundant he makes our lives. He gives our lives purpose, both here now, but for all of eternity. It's in his presence, in his face, there is fullness of joy. And that's why we should take this call from God seriously, not only because of who he is, but for what it does for us, far better and more beneficial than anything else that we can seek after. So what is our response to this invitation from God to seek his presence, to seek his face? Well, the response from David in this psalm was from the heart. "My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." See, it's not the mind full of a head knowledge, and it's not the mouth paying only lip service, and it's not an action doing things without meaning or good intentions. It was the heart. And our response to God is to be from the heart and an undivided heart. A response of an undivided heart. See, the heart, it represents these deep motivations and desires inside of us. It's this inner authority that shapes what we value, what's important to us, and what we want. And it's where we form the highest priorities in our lives and what drives our decision-making, what we want to do, how we spend our days, who we build relationships with, what we spend our money on, what we strive after to gain. We might be able to fool others into thinking that we're seeking God, but we cannot fool God. He sees straight to our heart. We're told in 1 Samuel 16, "For man looketh on the outward appearance," that's all we can see, "but God looketh on the heart." And we can trick others and even ourselves into believing that we are seeking God, speaking and doing the right things, yet all without a heart set on God. And though others might not see our hypocrisy, God does, and he calls it out, just like he did with the Pharisees in Mark 7. Christ speaks and refers back to the prophet Isaiah. "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." God desires our response to his call to be from the heart. He's not interested in our lip service. He's not interested in our good works. He's not interested in our Bible reading, church attendance, money, prayers, if they're empty and dead, without a hunger for him, without a desire to first please him and seek after him. His desire and our response is to be that of our hearts. Jeremiah 29 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." All of your heart. God does not want a half-hearted relationship with us. He's not interested in lukewarm seeking. He wants my whole heart. He wants your whole heart. He wants our entire being to be earnestly pursuing him, arranging our days that we might do so. Psalm 42, "As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." This is David again, whose response in this verse, "Thy heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. My soul after thee, O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" When we search for God with our whole hearts, then shall we find him. Notice as well that this response of God's call from our heart is unto the Lord specifically. And observe the name of God used here. Capital L-O-R-D in the Old Testament is what the translators use to translate the word Jehovah. And this word, or this name, Jehovah, it is the personal name of God, and it represents his character and his personality. The only true, almighty, personal, holy being. He who has revealed himself to man, to us, made promises to, speaks to, and seeks to be associated with. Yes, God is almighty, the El Shaddai. Yes, God is the one true God and creator, Elohim. Yes, God is eternal, El Olam. And yes, God is the one who sees all, El Roy. But in a sense, these are just his titles. Above all of this, he is Lord, Jehovah. The first name of him, so to speak, his first name. And our response is to be toward the personal character of God himself and not his titles. Not his titles. It's knowing him on a first name basis. And furthermore, we must respond to God's call as he has called us. Notice, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What was God's call in verse 8? Seek ye my face. It's not thy promises I will seek, thy knowledge, thy great works, thy blessings will I seek. It's not thy back, thy feet, thy arms. It's his face, his presence, his person, as he has called us to. Neither is it, yes, thy face, Lord, will I consider, think about, visit, sample. It's a wholehearted searching. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. And we must respond exactly as God calls us to seek him. Good intentions without obedience will always fall short. Good intentions without obedience will always fall short. Christ tells us in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And our response must be in spirit from the heart and in truth, in obedience. In spirit and in truth. Seeking after God in response to this call, it's not going to happen through self-determination. It's not going to happen through an emotional drive that comes upon us, or if we just grit our teeth and really go for it. We need God's help in everything, even to seek him. Philippians 2 tells us in verse 13, it's God which worketh in you, both to do of his good pleasure. No, it's not just to do of his good pleasure. It's God which worketh in you both to will, the desire, and to do of his good pleasure. See, God must work in us to build this desire, this heart for him, activate us, energize us, empower us in seeking him. Yet at the same time, we must allow him to do it. Our relationship can only be developed, can only grow through time together that is both rich in quantity, but also in quality. Commitment from both parties. And as God works in us to give us this heart for him, as we seek his help to do so, we must respond wherever we are. Firstly, we must respond to his call of salvation. Our eternal judgment and damnation is his greatest concern. And our acknowledgement of our need and trust in Christ's death in our place is his greatest desire. It is his highest call in seeking him. And we must respond to him not just at salvation, but respond to his calls each day. As the Spirit burdens us with the need to spend time with him, as we were reminded this morning in the Lord's Table devotion, that the glory of the Lord would be seen in the morning when the manna was brought out. And we get up, time with God, in His Word, in prayer, in talking with Him, reflecting upon Him throughout the day, meditating on Him. And also taking the opportunities to spend time with others who are seeking God. Iron sharpening iron. Not only is it just a day-by-day communion with Him, responding to Him, answering His call from the heart, but we must recognize that we need to respond to Him on all the times that we have decisions throughout the year, seeking His face, what would be well-pleasing and good to Him. His invitation is to us all. God doesn't ask anything of us that we cannot do. We can do it all. Seeking God is not an easy thing to do. But it's not because God is elusive or makes it hard for us. Rather, we make it hard for ourselves. It's because we're not committed. It's because our heart is not in it. What holds us back from responding to God, to seeking His face as He desires, is our lack of surrender to God's calling. And it's our distracted hearts that prioritize the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of these riches, and the lusts of other things that come in and it chokes our desire of God. But it doesn't matter, failings that I'm sure we all think of, that I can think of for myself, God's invitation is still open to us. It's conditional, but we can always still receive mercy and pardon. Isaiah 55 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked," well, we saw earlier that all have sinned, "so let all of us forsake his own way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon us, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And as we look ahead and we fail again to seek God, we can in humility and in a contrite heart rise up again through His help. Proverbs encourages us, "A just man falleth 7 times and he rises up again in the help and the strength of God." So in closing, seeking God in response to His call to seek ye my face is the most important thing we can do this year. It will have the single most profound impact on our lives, on my life, on your life. Yes, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be distractions. There are going to be setbacks. And in all of this, God is still calling us to seek His face, to strive and to pursue earnestly. In spite of the difficulties, meet him, be in His presence personally and regularly, sitting at His feet, having a genuine heart for God and enjoying this fellowship daily with Him should be the norm of God's people. How are we going to seek after God in 2021? Are we going to be half-hearted? Are we going to be distracted? Is it going to be later on? God is standing at the door of our hearts and He is knocking. He wants to be involved. He wants a deep and intimate relationship with us. He's calling us by our names personally. Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door of our hearts, and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." Amen.